a Ray Charles, can howl it like the wolf. My fingers wanna fly like a Joe, I gotta find my own truth. When I got no good luck left, what you gonna do? No reason, no rhyme, I just ran out of time for me and you. For me and you. Can't play it like a Shelley, poetic words are so unkind. Painted in a picture like a Vincent, starry nights are so hard to find. When I got no good luck left, what you gonna do? No reason, no rhyme, I just ran out of time for me and you. For me and you. Said, I gotta feel it in my bones. I gotta sing my own blues. I gotta sing my own blues. Gotta sing my own blues. Charles, I can't howl it like the wolf. My fingers wanna fly like a Joe, I gotta find my own truth. When I got no good luck left, what you gonna do? No reason, no rhyme, I just ran out of time for me and you. For me and you.
Raven and the Blues, and the top deck of the houseboat is full of people and cables and instruments. From left to right on keyboards and also on vocals, Paul Long, and then on the drums at the back, Dirk Maggs, Matt Lake is on bass, and on the right-hand side near the front, on vocals and lead guitar, Mash Sonnet. Otherwise, the Rioters Brothers. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
That was sung by Mash, and I don't recognise it, so is that something new?
Yes, one straight off the next album. Paul and I have been busy writing stuff. We got together with the guys early part of this year, and me and you's on the CD coming up. So look forward to getting that one out with the boys soon.
Where are we in terms of recording it? Is it not recorded yet, or are we about to re-record it? Or
well, we've nearly finished laying the basic tracks, yep. And then a few solos and vocals to go on in the summer, and hopefully be out in October is the plan.
So basically, it's all kind of laid down. It's just the fine tuning now, tweaking a bit. Is that kind of an individual members of the band thing or a complete band thing?
The complete band thing is the original take. We always want a full live, everybody playing at the same time on the studio floor take, because mm-hmm. that's what it's all about, getting that. And then we made two solos and vocals and backing vocals and bits and bobs afterwards.
This will be your third album. There was a marked difference between one and two. Is it going to be a big difference between two and three?
Yeah, I think we are. We're moving forward. I mean, we had this mission to try and push the blues forward, take it into a more contemporary feel. The songs are definitely going that way. We're moving more into a contemporary sound rather than perhaps a more rootsy sound. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're real pleased. I mean, I'm very confident about the next CD. I think it's got some really excellent songs on, but then again, I would say that.
And are they band written, or do each of you bring different ideas to the pot kind of stuff?
That's the other main change this time. On the last album, Shouted Out, there were Mash's songs and there were my songs, and I sang my songs, Mash sang his songs. This time they're all, to varying degrees, co-written.
Right.
And because I wrote it doesn't mean I sing it. And so it's much more a group thing in that sense. I think that's made a big difference to the songs and the feel of them.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, the band itself, you know, when you write songs, it's you know, it's only the start of a journey, and as soon as we plugged the band in, they've grown out of all recognition. Mm. You know, the way in which the group is working at the moment, it's just, to me, it's just amazing, because the things are growing, and each rehearsal, it feels better, each gig it feels better, so I'm really pleased to be with these guys.
I mean, with Matt on bass and Dirk on drums, you've been in this kind of format, the four of you, been together, what, 2 years now, is it? 2.5 years?
Yeah, Matt joined us, what, 2.5 years ago? Yeah. Something like that, but the band started in 2003 initially, but yeah, this is the
band, as we know.
This is the band.
Yeah. And it's an enjoyable band.
Mm.
It, you know, the feed off of each other's.
Well, you also see it on the reviews you get, and some of the items on reviews of when people see you working live. You know, it is a band that gels, and you obviously enjoy being together and on stage and playing on stage. Yeah.
I think the other thing for me is that Matt here on bass is a really seasoned guitar player, and you know, he's an extremely good musician, as is Paul. I mean, I'm much of an improviser. Dirk's obviously a drummer. There we are.
Yes.
But these two have worked so well together, and I think it's a dynamic that's really helped the band push forward to this more contemporary blues feel that we're trying to get.
I mean, has it been planned that way? I mean, did you say we've got to strive forward and be a bit more contemporary, or has it just kind of grown?
I think over the years it's evolved, but in truth, it's a very natural progression for the band to go that way. But also, we're kind of keen to put our sort of mark on the blues and not go back down the big tree, back to the roots.
Yeah,
we want to get onto the outermost branches and show that actually the blues is a genre moving forward and as a place in the 21st century, rather than going back to its early roots.
But separating it in a sense from what we sort of traditionally see as the kind of blues rock, which was more rock with a hint of blues. You're carving your own furrow, aren't you, in a way?
Yeah, pretty much. And that makes for a very interesting track, but also quite a difficult track in terms of getting the bookings and people hearing the fact that it is very much related to the blues, but actually it's not, you know, a cover of Muddy Waters, or it's not a cover of something else. So it's a difficult track, but for us artistically, it's a very, very easy track. Mm. You know, so we're keen to get the CD recorded, get out there on the gig scene, but we're ready for that next step to be quite difficult.
Okay, what are you going to do musically for us next?
What are we doing next?
We'll do a song called Second Time Around, which is also one of the new ones.
Goodbye that night, and I know love could be better second time around. Oh yeah. I'll go climb a mountain, swim across the sea. I'd do about anything to get you back to me. People on the street just say that I don't look right, but I still remember the way that you let me down that night. And I know love could be better, love could be better second time around, second time around. You, that you did me wrong. They say I should forget you, 'cause you were just bad all along. And I know love could be better second time around. Oh yeah. And I know love could be better, love could be better, love could be better second time around, second time around.
Second time around, taken off the forthcoming third album. Let's go back to how it all started, because for the people who aren't aware of your history, it's obviously you didn't come straight out of high school and join the band, and so presumably you were all pretty well seasoned musicians before you came together, did you?
Well, Dirk and I started playing together first in 1984 in a sort of a blues show band thing. And Mash and Dirk have an equally long history.
Yeah, Red Hot Pokers we did, didn't we, Dirk? It was a good fun kind of boogie band, and we started writing some original material with Red Hot Pokers. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah, there was that kind of conflict between doing original stuff and doing the covers. Yeah. And yeah, it's a perennial problem. But that was a good time. We had some great gigs and we had some great band colleagues. But naturally, we wanted to do more serious material, hence the Writers Brothers. Got hold of Paul, and that's when it stopped being that serious.
Well, we met up again.
I've got to mention Matt. I met Matt when he was 8 or 9 years old. We were at a Stones gig, and he wasn't a musician then, but... what can happen in how many years? 15 years? This guy's tremendous. So I've known Matt for many, many years, and it was my pleasure to bring Matt to the band. And really, yeah, it's just a group of guys that share that real feel.
I was only 6 when Matt first met me. I was a child prodigy drummer. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah. We've worked him hard.
Ages begin to tell, yes. Have you changed the lineup? Because I tried to get everything set up before you guys would pitch up, because when we've got a full band set up, there's a fair amount of cables and wires and microphones. So I set it up for 2 guitars, bass and drums, and was a bit taken aback. Have you transferred? Have you always been keys?
Always been keys in this band and guitar as well. I used to play both, but there's no need for me to play guitar in this band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, except on Honeypot, where it's very welcome.
There is one song we do live where Mash plays harmonica, so I grab the guitar off him under the strict instructions not to break it or put it out of tune.
Or even touch it. Up to 11. Don't turn it to 11.
Now, when it comes to the album itself, are you all in agreement in the way it's going to be produced and mastered and things? I mean, are you of one mind, or can the band sessions get quite heated?
No, I don't think they get heated. I think it all comes out in rehearsal rooms. I mean, The difficulty with us is we tend not to be able to find 2 or 3 weeks to go in a studio and do it all from start to finish. So yeah. It tends to be, you know, here and there, and as time goes along, which gives you time to go and reflect on the last one session you've done anyway. We're pretty as one by the time we get into the studio, I would say.
And I guess you're of an age and have been through the mill enough to know that you have to leave some of the ego on the doorstep before you go in the room, don't you, really?
I love that. Yeah, that's true. It is true. There isn't any ego. These guys just work at playing the music, and to be honest with you, it's the happiest band I've been in because of that. You know, there's no stress. You know, and if there is stress, it's a productive stress.
Right.
You know, we're trying to get things better or more accurate how we hear it. Paul and I have a lot of controversy, as does Dirk and I, but it's always positive.
Yep.
And it's a really nice environment to work in.
But really the album, nice. The album is self-produced, isn't it, really? I mean, there's no other person involved.
I think we also really enjoy hearing each other play. I mean, part of the best fun for me, I love playing the drums, but I just love listening to Mash and Paul and Matt playing. It's such a good band from that point of view. And nothing is ever the same twice. That's what I love about this band. There's always a difference, always a change.
Or the same once.
You mentioned wanting to get away from singing covers and doing your own material. That's something which really in the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years, and from my perception, is something which the audiences are okay with now, which they were never okay with before. Are you finding that it's easier to say, here's something we wrote ourselves?
I think now we're playing the material we really believe in, yes. Yeah. I think when you start out, that's a very tough step away from covers and to your own material. I'd also say that, you know, we've been lucky enough to be billed on some cracking gigs last year.
Yes.
But the number of cover bands in that lineup, it's just amazing. You've got a tribute band here, a cover band there.
It's quite disturbing, you know, when you see the amount of bands who are working, the cover bands who are working, and you think, why should this be, you know? But I mean, Pete Veenstra is a good example of, he has to make a living out of putting music on, but so much of his music he puts on is bums on seats, cover bands, you know, it has to be.
And, you know, and that's the truth of it, isn't it? It's the economic climate.
Yeah.
It drives people towards a more mainstream, which means there's more covers, because that's what brings the gate.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, we've still got a lot of people very interested in Writers Brothers and stuff we're writing, and it's to them we're extremely thankful, because, you know, the artistic contribution we all make, to go to places like Swanage and play a set full of your own material and get the, you know, rousing receptions we've had at those gigs and others,
mm-hmm.
is for us what it's about. You know, the money side of it, I mean, we all play in cover bands, we do all this, that and the other, but actually for this band, it's not the dollar that drives it, it's the love of the music,
yeah.
Which on the face of it, you know, you may say, well, actually, you know, it's not very roots based, but actually, believe you me, every single one in this band understands the roots of the blues and loves it,
mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's what percolates into the writing, so the band's not about the dollar, it's about the music, and that's really what it's about.
I think so, and for me, that thing, I love the blues hugely and all its facets of it, but
me too.
The thing is, it can't just be a preservation society.
No.
Where it'll die out. It has to move, and as the young people play, their influences aren't going to be the same as the black Americans in the 20s and 30s. They don't have that background. They're not on plantation crops, they're not from slave owning families. They have contemporary references, contemporary troubles and strife, and those come out in their music too, and so they should.
Yeah.
The influences should move along with the music, but it has its roots for sure.
And I equally pick up on that point, because we don't have those roots either.
No,
you know, we're all doing okay, thank the Lord. You know, we're doing okay, but nevertheless, we still have a belief of that music, and the idea is to try and express that in a way that carries on the theme and the general emotion.
A lovely old list of things you can't have. If you have them, you can't be a blues person. One of them is driving the cars you guys drive, you know. So if you came on the train, yes.
Yeah, and I think that's good, because actually I think that really does just separate the argument for us, is that actually we recognise that, and neither could we sing about hardships and stuff. But we can play a blues in the way it's been passed to us by our forefathers, the Stones, and, you know, all of those other great
musicians.
There's
no beaten pickups in our car park today. Okay, so what are you going to draw for us next?
Okay, Mash, let's do Fever.
Okay,
why don't we do Fever?
Take a quick.
Thank you.
she won't sleep at night. Lord, I got the fever, 'cause my little girl, she won't sleep tight at night. She'd have ran to make honey, but this poor bee won't buzz all night. Down to the doctor, but the doctor said I ain't got no cure. I went down to the doctor, but the doctor said, mash it, boy, I ain't got no cure. She's a man-loving woman, she's a woman who needs so much more. Much more. That's so much more than this man could give. Much more. That's so much more than this man can give. Like I need to breathe to live.
You can see where the blues roots came from on that one, can't you?
Fever. Yeah, they do show a bit in that one.
Yeah.
That feels like one of those numbers that kind of grew and on its own in the band room. Is that right? Or
it's a really old one, but it somehow never got onto any of the previous records. But it's become such a favourite live that we had to do it for this record.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a dream, actually. It started out as a dream. You know, what's your dream kind of woman? One that keeps you up all night and... then you realise actually that could be a nightmare.
Yeah.
If she's got more staying power than you. That ain't a good scene. So that was Fever. But the lyric line is.
I suppose as each year goes by, it kind of grew into itself in a way. Sort of you until you're ready to sing it. If you see what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it's one of those that we kind of had on the back burner. We've had on the front burner. We've done sometimes, sometimes not. But it's kind of living its own kind of way now, isn't it? It's just and it's one. You know, sometimes when you've got a set full of contemporary, you know, big chordy type arrangement songs, it's nice just to get back to the root and play as a blues band. Mm. And sometimes
it's also one that can be 4 minutes or 9 minutes long. It's one of those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
As if the audience is going for it, then we do too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Fever.
Watching you through that, it was very obvious that each of you follow each other. I mean, Dirk was watching Matt on the bass, but each of you are literally, there's no one person sort of taking the lead with it and running with it. Each of you are sort of following each other, aren't you, in a way?
Yeah. I think so. Although the main thing we also have to watch out is when the inspiration is striking Mash, and we don't want to go to the next bit of the arrangement. We'll stay with this one, thank you. When if he's smiling,
if I'm gurning sweetly, yeah.
I have to read Mash's backside quite often. It's kind of like if he's going for it, he kind of tends. Actually, the neck of the guitar is what I read, because if the neck of the guitar goes down, I know that we're in for a long haul.
Right.
Yeah. And you notice the neck's up now, so the next one's going to be a 2 minute special.
I may have missed it. Has the album got a name yet?
No, we're any votes, please. We're not totally sure. I mean, the title track that I thought it was going to be was a song Paul put together called Standing at the Edge of the World.
That's nice.
Just an amazing song, but it never made it onto the CD. Oh. So maybe that's album four. I don't know.
We've got the title for album four, but not the one we're recording
right
now.
I mean, we're ambitious.
Did much fall by the wayside? Stuff that didn't actually work? Or
well, Mash and I wrote 19 songs. We've got it down to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But one of them didn't fall by the wayside. It was a song called South Sea Shuffle. I'm from South Sea in Portsmouth. Yeah. And it's a slide thing. And we play it before the band comes on. So it always picks me up. It's a really upbeat song. But it didn't fall by the wayside completely.
No, it's become the intro.
I don't think it'll be on an album.
So we're looking really at the, September, October for the album is going to be roughly then?
I'd like to get it out for the beginning of October if we can. But
Is there going to be much a clash about artwork, or is that all designed and everything else?
No, that's sort of the that's very much at the concept stage and wondering what we might do.
Yeah. So.
We were going to be standing at the edge of the world.
Now that title's gone
but
away.
Not anymore.
Yeah. The only thing we've always been sure of is the last thing you need on an album cover of ours is a picture of our four ugly mugs. So it tends to be something more artistic and a graphic of some sort. But, save the frightening photos for inside.
There's only going to be one.
One frightening photo.
One photo of the band, that's one too many.
Yeah, One Direction.
The website is, I was going to say, it's not particularly current. It's current-ish, isn't it?
It should be current now. It's had a facelift in the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
it should be.
Okay. I haven't.
But it'll get redesigned for the new album.
Of course,
well.
You're on Facebook too.
Yeah.
Who is the Facebook gremlin who does all that for you?
Dirk and I seem to do that. Mash, Matt as well. Mash doesn't hold with it too much.
Should stress it's riotous and not righteous.
Yeah, I know.
Because people do get the spelling a little bit confused. It's a very old joke. We're beginning to wonder whether it's
really it's not funny anymore, is it?
What could you have left us with?
We'll close with the questions I never normally ask, because I spent so long with BFBS Radio in Germany, and whenever we were doing concerts and all the other radio DJs in Germany would line up and there'd be a long queue, and they'll be doing it in English, of course, because that's the artist wanted it that way. And it was always, how did you get your name and when did you start? And I thought, for the rest of my life, I'm never going to do interviews where I say, where do you get your name from? But okay, gentlemen, before we close, where do you get your name from?
Do you want to start with that, Matt?
No.
Who are you?
Band names are a curse, aren't they? They really are. Yeah. It's just a nightmare trying to think.
And the Beatles was a rubbish band name until they got famous, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're all dodgy. And the Riotous Brothers, when we first heard it, we thought it was hilarious. But now we have to explain it to people.
It's really... We've explained it 3 million times. It isn't righteous.
It's not funny.
No, it's not funny. The younger audience don't even know what the pun is. Anyway.
It was a not very clever play on words.
And as each, we apologise for the name, but the music's good.
Okay. Music, gentlemen, what are you going to finish with?
We'll do one off the Shout It Out CD. Don't Stop Me Now.
Just a boy in Tennessee. My mama tried to make a man of me. My father was a lagging Alcatraz. My brother earned his money playing jazz. I never thought I'd lost control till I heard that rock and roll. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now. Now I am a man of 23. To come and scream at me. Elvis Presley seemed to be real cool. Not the sock hop balls we played at school. I never thought I'd lost control till I heard that rock and roll. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now. In Tennessee, my mama tried to make a man of me. My father was a lagging Alcatraz. My brother earned his money playing jazz. I never thought I'd lost control till I heard that rock and roll. Don't stop me now.
Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me now.
I never thought I'd lost control till I heard that rock and roll.
Don't stop me now. 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 Don't stop me now.